Form, I'm going to invite Ken and Carolyn to come and join me up here. It's a privilege to have Ken and Carolyn Benson with us. Let's welcome them. And they're a traveling roadshow, and they have been part of our church family for many, many years, and they're going to tell you a little bit about that history. Many of you know them have for much longer than I have, but let me tell you that just in the time that I have known them, they have been a great blessing to me and encouragement, partners in ministry, and just really appreciate their desire to make Jesus known and to equip others to do the same, right where they are and all around the world. And so they've had a great variety of experience around the world, and we're thankful to call them friends and partners in ministry. And so Lord bless you as you come today.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, Dave. It's great to be with you folks again. Carolyn and I were noticing the calendar and realizing it's been 30 years since we moved to Portugal. I moved to Sarnia back in 1988, so the years have passed by. And I just want to say, I don't know what Bob Roberts puts in his coffee, but Bob still looks the same as when we came here 30 years ago. So check what Bob puts in his Tim Hortons coffee or whatever he drinks in the morning. It seems to have a special effect. We're glad to share with you some of our journey and where God has had us, and also to give you a chance to experience some of the things we do as teachers of people that are going to other countries. So I'm going to just bend down here and put a few things up so I'm not disappearing. Just going to start my laptop here. So guys, if you can find my laptop, hopefully on the board there. Good. So this is a slide that says hello in a lot of different languages. Can anybody call out a language you recognize up there? French. Others? English. Spanish. Dutch. How do you say that in Dutch? Oh, I don't think I've had anyone point that. It's at the ball. Okay. Great. Other ones? Salam. And which language is that? Arabic. Are you an Arabic speaker? Hey, that's great. And there's so many languages that are being represented in Canada now. Toronto has over 200 different languages that are spoken in the Toronto, Greater Toronto Area. And so our multicultural world, and in Canada, as we know, with 53% of Torontonians born outside of Canada now, the majority culture is now a minority culture. So 47% of us that just speak English as our first language are more likely to be the minority in a lot of gatherings as we gather in Toronto. So Carolyn and I are no longer just associated with Portugal, but we train people that are moving to the far corners of the world. And the organization is called Mission Prep. And those of you that remember, I have to put in a little family story here. So our two adult children, Kara, on your left, and Charity on your right, is that got right? Okay, on the right. Charity and her family, her husband Ben, and her little one, Anna Sophia, and Noah, who is a little boy that's 5 years old that they're in the process of adopting. So that's a great journey for them as a family and a great challenge to see them doing that as they feel called by God to do that. And Kara is teaching in Toronto, helping moms that haven't finished high school in a program, help them get their graduation equivalent program called the GED. And she's been doing that for 5 years and enjoys doing that. Carolyn and I had a chance to go back to Portugal, just tell you real quickly, this summer, first time after 7 years of having left Portugal, and we had some great meals together with friends. The family grouping here in the bottom right-hand corner, the young man Bruno to the farthest to the right there, was a young man that I discipled. What a blessing to pray with him after 7 years and see him referring to God in ways that were obviously deeper and a lot more intimate in his walk with Jesus. He's gone through lots of difficulty, but it was encouraging to hear him pray with me and see that God has been faithful in helping grow him. And that's the rest of his parents and stuff, family there. Carolyn had a special relationship with Mena, and Mena was the lady that she started a used clothing store in Portugal just before we left. And Mena, even though she's in a wheelchair, runs this used clothing store, and she found that the ministry of giving out clothes to people is important in that culture, and it's a new thing that hadn't been done. But the interesting part is that Mena is having impact on the volunteers that are coming to help in the store, more even so than the people that are receiving the clothes, because she gets together, has Bible studies with them, and tries to keep in front of them the importance of doing this for God and what it means to follow Jesus. And those volunteers are not yet followers of Jesus in a lot of cases. So she is an amazing woman of faith and determination, but wheelchair-bound. And so Carolyn was encouraged by seeing that. So just a quick review then of some of the things that we teach in our courses. We have three major courses. Impact and Plants are for people heading towards the field. But, the first one is Impact, and it's a two-week course, and Plants is 2 weeks. And then Review, when people come back, for a one-week review program. And we do this for about 25 different agencies from United States and Canada. And it is some great stories and great people we have a chance to learn from and to go on a journey together. So here's one of our groups that came through. We have lots of different things that we teach them. Carolyn's going to share some of the things that she teaches to the kids here this morning. And one of the things we do is we actually visit a mosque. We used to hold the program in Toronto. It was easy to find a mosque. Then we needed to move our program to Guelph, and we thought we'll never be able to find a mosque so easy. But in Guelph, we even found a mosque closer to our facility than we did in Toronto. So the Muslim faith is showing up in lots of places throughout southern Ontario, and we have a chance to teach and expose some people to some neat things. Carolyn does the training for kids as well. This is one of their exercises they do in an interactive learning setting. In our plants, we teach language learning, not specific languages, but multiple ways and strategies to do this. So this gentleman, I believe, is teaching, he was from Pakistan, wasn't he? Yeah, he's from Pakistan. I forget which one of the languages he was, Dari. Urdu, thank you, Urdu. Carolyn's reminding me. And so these are some of our students trying to learn Urdu in order to practice what they will do when they go on to the field. And so it's a fun course. In our review course, the world is getting weirder. I don't know if you'd noticed, but things are happening throughout the world that make processing your journey so much more important. People that are coming back from the field have encountered some incredible experiences that need to have time for their story to be heard. And so they come to us for 6 days. We get the privilege to hear some of those great stories of good things, but also things that aren't so great that they need a friend to hear. And so we do that together. We just finished one in July with 20 adults and 16 of their kids. And Carolyn, again, has a curriculum that she does with the children to help them process their journey. Yeah, we do some of those processings in small groups, one-on-one settings, and we don't do any of our programs all by ourselves. This may sound like, boy, you guys are really smart and do a lot of work, but this is only done with lots of other people. We had 123 different people fill positions in our ministry over 1 year. So we end up with some of those people filling those positions. But it takes obviously a large number of people throughout their year to run our board and our various parts of leadership. And here's just some of the people that help us. And so our prayer for missionaries and one of our goals is to increase the longevity and effectiveness of missionaries. And this is one of our review courses that happened recently. So some of the ways that you can praise God with us and pray with us for things is continual provision for facilitators and students. That's just something incredibly important to us, and to see God's faithfulness. Sometimes Carolyn says, I don't know where I'm going to get another children's worker. And then God brings the right one at the right time. Even twice this summer, she had people come and volunteer to serve. And Carolyn said, well, I don't think I need somebody else, but since God sent you, we'll sign you on. And sure enough, if we hadn't had that person at that course, things would not have gone as well. So God even provides sometimes before we ask. Our trip to Portugal was a real blessing to us. And one of the things that encourages us to see people that are still feeling called to serve Him cross-culturally, full-time or longer time, and people still responding to that call. So maybe this morning, what we talk about may be a way that God speaks to you this morning that says, hey, I have a job for you that will go beyond where you're planted right now, and He wants you to serve somewhere. So if you have that inkling or want some ideas, Carol and I are available to speak with you during the lunchtime about any topic related to serving God cross-culturally. One of the things that we're looking for prayer for is called an ad hoc committee, which is a subcommittee of our board, and we're trying to consider about how to restructure our system. Carol and I are working really hard, and we realize we can't keep doing this at this pace for a long period of time, and so we've asked the board to start to help us recruit and to think about restructuring for the future so that we can handle growth. Probably similar to the book of Acts when the 12 apostles were realizing all the ministries they were involved in was getting too much, and they realized they needed some deacons to start doing some of the other tasks that were to be done. And so we're in that similar point in our history that we're looking for more leadership to come join us. And we have programs in October and November that we're getting to head into soon, and we have lots of prep to do before we go. And that requires lots of wisdom and discernment. If you forget what to pray for us about, that's our default prayer. Pray for our wisdom and discernment, that God would know us what we need to be involved in and how to do it well. Carolyn's going to come and give you a sample lesson, and she's going to teach you about transition.
Yes, so I have the wonderful privilege of working with the children at Mission Prep, and that's a really, you know, if the children don't make it, the parents aren't happy, and so our team feels that training the children is just as important. It's not just entertaining them, it's helping them understand what they're going to be facing in the future as they prepare to go. And so we use what we call the transition bridge. And this is our little makeshift transition bridge that I'm going to walk you through some of the phases of transition. We did this last time we were here with a small group of people, but we decided because it fits into Ken's sermon today, we're going to do it again today, abbreviated. So I don't have any children. Actually, we have the children go through it, but today I'm going to go through it. We start with talking about paradox. You know, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. And paradox, it's a hard word to think about what that means. And for children, we help them understand what paradox means by using a pair of ducks. So can you say paradox really fast? Paradox, paradox, paradox. And it becomes paradox. And so we talk about the yay duck and the yuck duck. And we give permission to the children to talk about the yays and the yucks that they're going to be facing as they go through to be missionaries in another country. And so we start with the settled phase. Here we are. Here we are. They're in their country. And we have the children model this, but I'm going to model it for you. And so we talk about the yays and the yucks. Am I doing things okay up here for the mic? Yeah, okay. So we talked about the yays and the yucks in being in your settled phase, and maybe some of you can help me. The yays being, you know, everything is familiar. You have your maybe you're, as a child, you're involved in activities, soccer or basketball, whatever. Things are familiar, your friends are all around, everything is comfortable. Are there any yucks when you're in your hometown, in your home country? Any yucks? No yucks? Sometimes you get stuck or bored or there's conflicts. Those can be some yucks. So the next stage, your parents get the call to go to, let's pick a country, let's say Mongolia. And so this is the unsettled phase. And so the children go across, and it's a little unstable, unsettling for them. And so we talk about, well, what are some of the unsettling feelings about knowing that you're going to be moving to another country? Just call it out. Language, you don't know the language. You're going to have to learn. Anything else? Food, you're not sure you're going to like the food. You're right. Friends, you're going to leave all your friends. Yes. It's unsettling, isn't it? And so we talk with the kids about those things. There are yays, though, too, aren't there? What are some of the yays? Food. You might like the food. You get to try new food. Yes.
Church is good with food,
Dave. What else?
New friends.
New friends. Good.
New language.
New language. Yes. All those things that were yucks can be yays, right? So the paradox. Yes. Okay, so we get through the unsettled phase, and then we get to the, who knows what this is? This is the chaos phase, and chaos, so you're now into your new country, your Mongolia, and what do you think? What are some of the yucks?
Food.
Food, okay. Yeah, you don't like those, whatever they are. Okay. Getting sick, spiders, yes, animals that you don't know about, yes. So, pardon? Monetary things, yeah, you don't understand the finances and the monetary system.
Weather?
Weather, yes. You're not used to the weather.
City versus country.
Yeah, maybe you're living in the country and you're used to the city having everything available.
Parents' attention.
Parents' attention, yes, right. Parents are sometimes very busy then, yeah. And they're struggling too sometimes. And you know, we do have, we have one child go through it first, and then we link a group of four of them. So we have a mom and a dad at the end and two children in the middle with bungee cords. We link them and we have them go through as a family, and we help them think about what happens as a family going through this. So, can I go through this alone? No, I can't. And I just want to say, actually, before we go to the chaos stage, so in the unsettled phase, we teach them Joshua 1:9, do not be discouraged, do not be terrified, the Lord goes with you, the Lord goes with you. We teach a little rap, wherever you go. So we can take courage because of who God is, and He's going with us. In the chaos stage, I can't do this alone. So I have to ask for help. So who's going to come and help me? Come on, guys. I need you guys to come and help. Someone. Who's going to help me? Who's going to help? Can I go through these balls? Okay, so who's going to help me? Thank you. I need someone else here. I can't. Okay, good. Thanks, team. Okay, so chaos. Here I come. And you know what? I could not have done it. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I could not have done that without help. And you know what? We say that God has put us on a team. We're on God's team. He didn't want us to be alone. And when we face major transition in our life, and you can be thinking, this is not just about missionary kids, you can be thinking about transitions that you're going through or have gone through. And when you're going through transition time, God wants us to reach out for help, doesn't He? We're part of the body. It says we're in 1 Corinthians, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And we need to be able to receive, but also help. We learn to help others. So we give and receive help as we go through challenges in our lives. And so here we are. Now we're getting settled. We like the food a little bit, and we've changed our clothes to adapt to Mongolian lifestyle. And this is the resettling phase. And so we talk about the yays and the yucks again. What might some of the yucks be here?
Homesick.
Homesickness, yes. There's a lot of good things happening because you're learning the language, liking the food, but you're remembering what you left behind. And so it's really important to allow the children to talk about those yays and yaks. It's okay to express that. And God left a third of the Psalms is lament Psalms. And he left a whole book of Lamentations. And so we talk about it's okay to be honest with God. And we've got a verse for that too. It says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And so we talk about prayer and the importance of being honest with God. So the last one, whoops, we're still settling. The last one is getting to the settled phase again. And it's green because then you're starting to really grow. And we found that families, when they're over in the field, we do this with the children, and then we bring the parents in, and we let the children teach the parents so that they can have a language together to talk as a family about what they're going to be going through. And one family wrote back, they went through our program in the summer, and they wrote back at Christmas to say, do you know what? Our children reminded us when we were going through a very difficult chaos stage in our lives overseas when we were just adjusting. It was our children that reminded us, remember, Mom and Dad, that transition bridge? We're going to get to the end, to that settled phase again, and things will be okay. So it was the children that helped to encourage the parents in that stage. So we just really enjoy the opportunity that we have to train whole families and to help them as they transition to a new culture. So thank you for your support for us through this.
Carolyn's much better doing this than I am. She has much more balance. The one thing I might add to this, you could say, well, how is that different for anybody else that moves to a country? Like, why train missionaries about that? Well, the second part to this story is that often missionaries are moving back and forth from culture to culture, and they start to become a new person because you've had some other cultural experience, and now you need to go back to your home culture for a few months or maybe even a year at one time. And so you start to do this in reverse and go back through it again. And then you get back in Canada for a year and you're feeling kind of, this is starting to feel a bit like home, but a bit out of sorts. And then you have to start to come back again. And so this constant flow for missionaries is a unique part of their call in their lives. And so we share this with you not only to sort of maybe reflect on your own lives, transitions you've gone through, but now you can understand maybe some of the things that missionaries go through emotionally, and kids as well, which have been an overlooked part of the process in the years past. But then their regression again, back and forth, and it's quite an important part of their journey to understand how to do that and how to support each other as they receive other missionaries that are coming through too, so they can hopefully understand each other better as they go through some of the chaos phases together. So is there some way for me to see this up here on the screen too, or is that doesn't work? Okay, all right. Transitions that transform. I would like to talk to you from the scriptures about some insights that this gives us for the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is about a lady that has to make a transition from her Moabite community to Israel, to a Jewish culture. And so her mother-in-law, Naomi, is taking her on this journey to a country that she's never been to before. And Naomi, the mother-in-law, has gone through some tragic events in 10 years. She has brought her husband and two sons to Moab to get away from a drought. And in this new country that she's in, her husband dies. And now her two sons are left, and her all by themselves. And so her sons choose to marry two Moabite women, and then those two sons die. So in the first six verses, you're through people moving from one country to another. You've got two weddings, and you've got three funerals. First five verses is really fast forward. And then you move into chapter 2, where Ruth and Naomi have moved back to this country that Naomi knows but Ruth doesn't. And Ruth says this very important part of her journey. Naomi, if I'm going to go with you, your people are going to be my people, and your God's going to be my God. And sometimes the part that we leave out of the wedding ceremony that this verse often shows up is, where you die, I will die. She jumps in with both feet into the commitment to move into a time in her life where she was moving into a country that was going to be her enemy. Israel and Moab had not been good friends as they lived beside each other, and so she's moving into a hostile situation, but goes with a great expectation that God's going to do some things. And so this bridge, I think, illustrates for me transition and the feelings that sometimes we go through, in that you can't see what's on the other side. You don't know what's at the other side of the transition. If your husband passes away or your wife passes away, you're not prepared usually for what's at the other side. You don't know what it's going to look like, and the feelings are really confusing. Another thing about this is you don't know how long that bridge is. It could be a short bridge or a very, very long bridge. And so the chaos stage that Carolyn explained here is that for some people it can be just like one ball, and for other people it can be like 10 balls long. And then when those people are in families, that brings some confusion, because you want to say to the other person that's on the 10-ball journey, oh, come on, suck it up, buttercup, and get with the program. But God takes us all on our individual programs in our own individual journeys in transition. And I believe that the scriptures are full of this in so many different places. I've highlighted the Ruth and Naomi story, but you can look at Abraham's life and Joseph's life also as people on some major transitions that take place in their lives. So I believe there's some great lessons to learn. But one of the questions you have to ask is, why would God put us through transitions? And I think the book of Acts gives us some insight into that. It says, from one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. So transitions that we experience personally in our lives, whether it is widowhood or it's changing jobs or if it's losing a friend and making new friends or going to a school far away or changing professions or changing schools, all those transitions that God has, as I believe, has the potential for us to seek him and to learn and to learn to reach out for him. It's an important part of our journey in life, is to come to grips with transitions that he has us in. Some we would choose, and others that we wouldn't want to choose. Ones that are forced upon us, and others that come because of choice. And so there are all kinds of ways to look at transition. But I believe one of the things that we can take away from the story of Ruth as she moved into the new culture is that she held on to this belief that God is good and his love endures forever. There are lots of illustrations of that, that when we move into times of confusion, we can end up blaming God. We can end up getting angry at God. But if we hang on to the fact that God is going to be a good God in the midst of that transition, we can grow more in him and come through on the other side a lot. We had Ron come to one of our courses. Ron and his wife, they were heading to South America to a country. The other blue dot in the screen is because some of the people we take pictures of, we can't show their faces, so it's like that for a reason. But Ron, the other gentleman in the corner here, sent in his transcript to come to our, or sent in his in what's application, thank you, application. And on his form, he's under special medical conditions. He had on the thing, no tongue. And I said to Carolyn, is this for real? Is this guy a jokester? Well, sure enough, Ron shows up to the program and he had no tongue. He had had a cancer operation and they had to remove his tongue. And so Ron had learned to talk from the back of his throat. So he talked like this. And in order to understand, you had to really, really listen. And so Ron would talk from the back of the throat, but everybody, whenever he would talk, would just kind of really stop and try to listen to what he said. And it was interesting because we asked Ron, Ron said one day, we had a great sense of humor, he says, I asked God one time why he had to take my tongue, and God said to me, it's so that people would listen to you, Ron. And so Ron had learned to believe that God was a good God in the midst of a very difficult phase in his life. And so he was heading to Brazil, South America, in order to learn a new language and do that well. And he was not determined. He was 65 years old or thereabouts, could have sat on the couch in United States and not done anything and probably had good reason not to. But he believed God had a mission for him to do even at this stage in his life. And so off he went to South America to serve the church there. I think one of the things I can take away from the story of Ruth as she moved in was taking courage. In the third chapter of the story, her mother-in-law, Naomi, makes this suggestion on how she could propose to a man in order to get married. And it's a bit of a weird plan. Go lay beside his feet in the middle of the night after he had been drinking, after coming back from a party, and make this special proposal. The plan was a bit weird when we read the scriptures, to be honest. But Ruth was one that had learned to take courage and take courageous steps in her journey. Sometimes when we get involved in times where we're feeling unsettled, we are less risk conscious. And so we try to avoid any further risk. But I believe Ruth shows us that you can still take risks during that phase and see God provide for you in amazing ways. And the story shows that at the end in chapter 4. We had a single missionary, a lady that came, and she was in a country where there were some bombs that were taking place, and she was feeling very unsafe. She came home and actually had to see a professional counselor where she had gone through some bombings, some suicide bombers, some people that were trying to hurt others. And so she came back to work through some of those feelings. One of the things that made her feel really unsafe is that her team didn't have an exit strategy. The most of the other team had been there years and they just thought that was normal practice and so saw the tragedy or the difficulty in completely two different ways. And so she was trying to work through those feelings. But this young lady had to learn. She was on learning her second language before she could eventually arrive where she was going to serve in that country. So she was on part two of her journey and was still, after a time of reflection and prayer, ready to go back. And so she was a courageous lady that really inspired us to see how, even though she was in this confusing time of transition, was willing to take the courageous step to go back. Giving and receiving help. Well, Ruth, you can see in the story, as a person, even though that she's going through a major transition, is still concerned about her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi really should have been the lady in the story that should have been helping Ruth get settled in her new country. But we find that Ruth is taking a lot of the initiative of doing that herself by going out to glean, to get food, to come back home and celebrate with Naomi, but at the same time, she's willing to receive help. And that's such a key part, that when we're going through transition, we can be really focused on ourselves and forget the important role that we have in helping others. And in the mere aspect of turning from an inward focus to an outward focus, we really can survive and thrive in situations. Imagine Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's at the point of his greatest affliction prior to being crucified. And he's there in the garden and sweating drops of blood. And the guards come to take him. And he steps forward and says, I'm Jesus. Let these guys go. And then one of his disciples pulls out a knife and cuts the ear off of one of the guards or one of the people accompanying the process. And Jesus could have been so self-absorbed with all this great tragedy, but Jesus turns around and heals the person in the midst of that great stress. So even Jesus himself shows us the capacity to be able to help others in the midst of your greatest difficulties in your life at the same time of receiving help, like Ruth demonstrates as well in the story of Ruth and Naomi. These are three things, I think. Bryce was one of the neat guys that came to one of our courses. Bryce had worked in China for a long time, over 30 years. And he was there, and on one of his walks, he went on a walk up in the mountains, and he found a tribe that nobody was really aware of. And they found that they didn't know about Jesus. And even though he'd worked in China such a long period of time, God opened his heart to start to reach out to this tribe. And so in order to do that, his organization, even after over 30 years of working with them, weren't ready to help him do that. They weren't equipped to do that. And so he had to change organizations. The new organization he joined said, you still have to go to mission prep, even though he had lived cross-culturally for over 30 years. And Bryce showed up, and he could have been a grumpy student for us, to be honest. But Bryce showed this great delight. He was there at the table and learning with us together and willing to share stories, and he was able to give and receive help at the same time. He organized the class at the end to buy us all flowers and presents before he left. He was a real example of a person that could have taken the difficult circumstance. He wanted to get back there so quickly, but he was a man of grace, being able to give and receive help all at the same time. So this morning, I'd like to finish with this thought, these three thoughts, is that if you're going through transition in your own life, that to really hang on to the aspect that God is good, his love endures forever. Believing God is good in those difficult times is a key component to surviving transitions well. And taking courage, don't be so risk adverse that during that instability time that you can reach out and say, if God is for us, who can be against us? Like we sang this morning. And to take that courage that there is still room for God to make you capable to do much more than you ever asked or imagined, like the verse we heard on the screen this morning. And then thirdly, I believe as you learn to reach out, if you're going through widowhood or being a widower, being able to help others during that phase is part important part of that recuperation and learning to do life differently after losing a spouse. Or if you're changing schools and are now in new circumstances with trying to make friends, trying to reach out to others and waiting rather than waiting for people to come to you is a great way to help your transition to go better. Well, I want to just say thank you to you as a congregation for your continued support of Carolyn and I here in this ministry. It's a multiplying ministry. We saw over 160 different people this past year being trained this year to go out to the four corners of the earth. And God has especially equipped us to be able to do this in this phase of life, and we're enjoying it very much. So thank you for praying for us, and thank you for a chance to be here this morning. Pastor Dave.